sing this with our mouths. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. Lord, we also sang, if more of you means less of me, take everything. Lord, we sing, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down. And Lord, we know, Lord, this morning we sing it with our mouths. And God, we even understand the words. We can read, Lord, and we can comprehend what it means, Lord. But we also have to acknowledge, Lord, that it's hard. And God, that we need your help with this, Lord. We need your help, Lord, not just to lay down, Lord, the things that burdens us, Lord, the bad stuff. But we need your help, Lord, to lay down the good stuff as well. We need you to lay down the things that we so many times enjoy. And Lord, that occupies so much of our time and so much of our emotions and so much of our energy, Lord. We know, God, sometimes we must lay down the causes that we fight for, that we are so passionate about, because it distracts our intimacy with you, Lord. And this morning, God, we just want to come and as a people, Lord, we want to come and surrender our inability to surrender. And we want to thank you, God, that even in that you love us. You love us, God. That even though, Lord, we sing these things with our minds, Lord, and our hearts might be far away from it, Lord, you are the one that closes the gap. Because, Jesus, you surrendered all on the cross. And in the cross, Lord, we glory. In the cross, Lord, we thank you that you are the one, Lord, that has made a way where there were no way. And we want to repent this morning, Lord, when we try to surrender. When we try to surrender on our own, Lord, and it's halfway, or it's not even a dot, Lord. We want to acknowledge this morning, Lord, that there is so much that still needs to be surrendered. And I pray, Father God, for each one of us that it will not become a burden, Lord, but it will become a pleasure to surrender, because we see the face of Jesus and we see the price have been fully paid. So this morning, Lord, we come and we pray, God, come and help us. Come and help us to surrender. Let the songs that we sing, Lord, be a prophetic song, songs of faith. But we also pray, God, let it become a reality in our lives. Because, Lord, if it takes for us, Lord, to let go of this world, to have more of you, let it be so, Lord. And let it not just be words, Lord. Let it not just be a clinging of symbols, Lord, but let it be our reality. May what we now prophesy, Lord, with our song in faith, become a testimony. And as a church, Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you that your Spirit is here, that you comfort us, that you encourage us, and that you help us, Lord, because you are the ultimate helper. We glorify you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give it a go with this microphone. Just if you're wondering, if we're trying with new microphones, yes, we do. This is like the third one. That we're experimenting with. So we're trying to figure out if there's some signals that's interfering with the mic. So if it's going to disturb too much, I have a old school backup. Met 'n lekker draad aan sy einde. Toets hom net gou. Werk is werk die een. Werk die een.
Werk hy, werk hy? Nee, nog nie. Druk nog knoppies. Daar.
Kom iets. Daar's hy. Okay, great. Nou weet ons, hy werk. Okay, good morning, goeiemôre almal. Lekker lang naweek vibes, nê? Nee? almal die kinders afgegee iewers. Dis hoekom hulle nie by die kinderkerk is nie. Wat het gebeur? Is lekker om hier te wees vanoggend. I just want to pray for the message as well. God, we want to thank you for the word that you've blessed us with, God. And we want to thank you, God, for the preciousness, God, that is locked up, the treasures that is locked up, Lord, in your word. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that you will renew this morning and renew, Father God, somewhere in this week, Lord, our desire to sell what we have, Lord, to buy the field and to go and look for the treasure in the word, to go and dig for the treasure in the word, Lord. Help us with that, Lord. And may your word, Lord, be sweet, Father God, Lord, in our hearts. Even though we know, Lord, it so many times challenges, we just want to come and say, God, our hearts are good soil because it has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. And we glorify you for that, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Amen. Okay. So this morning, I want to speak about the power of joy. And I'm going to start off by reading a bunch of scriptures. And I want you to listen to what the keywords are for this message. From these scriptures.
Bertus, genoeg is genoeg. Na 'n draad toe. Lekker.
Good. Okay. So, just a few scriptures. I love scripture because scripture is truth. And where you bring truth into an atmosphere, it changes. But also know that scripture is very confrontational. We live in a world where we have to be tolerant. It's preached to us all the time. We have to be tolerant. And I was thinking about it this morning. I don't think Jesus was tolerant. I think Jesus was patient, but he wasn't tolerant. He confronted. So it's not a bad thing when scripture confronts the condition of our hearts. It's a good thing. It's like if we want to rebel against that, it's like saying medicine is a bad thing, you know, because medicine attacks the germs. Scripture does the same. It comes, it challenges us, it washes, it cuts like a sword sometimes. It also soothes. It brings healing. It's good for the soul. But here we go. So Hebrews 11 says, faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, there's your first word that you can write down or make a memory note of. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Ephesians 4:3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalm 133:1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he will act. Nehemiah 8:10. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Romans 15:32. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And then the last one, James 1:2-3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Okay, so the key words. Mfani, gaan na die volgende slide toe. Obviously, did you pick that up? The key words, faith, hope, love, joy, unity, trust. It's words that we as believers, we know. It's words that we as believers often, we quote it, we like to talk about it. We know it's stuff that we need. But many times I ask myself, how does it fit together? How do they correlate and how do they work together and how does that really influence my life? And the message this morning isn't, it's not exact. It's not that I want to say, listen, this is the only way that we can mix up this words to bake the cake. This is precious ingredients that we need in our lives. But the thing that I want to talk about today and bring about today is I want to start off with the word unity. And you know, maybe I should start at this. All of us belong to a team, whether you like it or not. You belong to a team. There's some of you that's sitting here with your husband and your wife. There's some of you sitting here with your family, and that is a team. That is a team. A team isn't just a group of people out there on a sports field. That is a group. You can also say, listen. I work, I have a business, so I am an employer of employees and we are a team. And then obviously we know the example of sport. And wherever we operate, you know, it's a kingdom principle that God loves teams. He loves groups. He loves community. He is the one that created community. He created marriage between man and woman. And we have to understand that the moment Adam and Eve got married, that was the moment that Satan started to attack them. Because the enemy, it's not that he's against the word unity, he just wants a unity of his own. He wants a demonic unity. People who are rebellious and burning stuff and, you know, are just causing mayhem are also part of a group, they're part of a team. But there is a unity that is godly. And there is a unity that the Word of God says in Psalm 133, like we just read now, a unity that commands a blessing. And husbands and wives, you would know that. You would know that when there's this unity in marriage, it's not that there's no blessing there. It's just that, you know, the blessing doesn't flow in a way that you experience it. It's as the cloud of blessing, die wolk van seën, hang nog daar. The blessing is still there. But it's not raining at that moment because there isn't a unity between you. And most of you have experienced that. And then obviously, you know, we're part of ethnic groups. We're part of cultural groups. We're part of political groups. If you're in a school, you would understand, you know, I'm part of that group when we play against this group. And, you know, for once a year, there's war between the schools when it's interschools. And the unity, you can feel the unity in the one group and you can see the unity in the colors that they wear and the songs that they sing. And as a people, as armies, we understand the power of unity. And then obviously, you guys also know how it feels when maybe I should say this. The thing that keeps unity together is mainly trust. Net sommer so. If I can't trust the person next to me, we have a problem with unity. If I do not trust my wife, or I do not trust my husband, or I do not trust my children, or I do not trust my team member, we have a unity problem. And that's normal, né? It happens. So there's the mistakes that people make, and then there's the herhalende foute wat hulle maak. Mistakes that repeat all the time. But then there's also just plain, you know, bad character. You don't pitch when I asked you to pitch for the third or the fourth time. And it breaks trust. Or I ask you to do the dishes. In our house, we have this system going that one of the children must unpack the dishwasher, and then the other one must pack the dishwasher, and they're on a roster. Or they must be responsible for the bathroom. Koop die badkamer is skoon. Weet jy hoe jy gedoen vanoggend en wie aan diens is nie. But every and then obviously the person that police that is the, you know, the matriarch of our household, you know her. Sy kan lekker beneker raak. Okay, so Alida polices that, and you can experience when the children have dropped their responsibility. There's those moments of, and she said that. She said that aloud. She screamed that at them and at me. Ek kan julle nie vertrou nie. I can't trust you. You know? So when there's distrust, the system isn't in harmony. And I think one of the things that all of us experience, and sorry for this long intro, I'll land it now, is when we think about our beloved governmental system. I, the taxpayer, and you, the taxpayer, we pay tax with the understanding and the social compact that that tax will be used for the betterment of all the social stuff that we need. And when our beloved politicians take from that money for themselves, I don't know if I'm the only one that feels like that. That money was supposed to go, you know how I feel about roads in the Free State, supposed to go to infrastructure, municipal infrastructure or whatever, and now it has bought a beach house for some politician. Trust is severely damaged. And then our national unity suffers. So you get the picture. Okay. So we need unity, but for unity, we need trust. Okay. So, if we want to grow unity, trust must grow as well. And we, once again, I didn't ask them for that. But we sang two or three songs today about surrender. And as believers, this is the picture that I want to show you today. Remember, I'm speaking about the power of joy or to be empowered by joy. Okay? So the ingredients that we need for joy is we need first and foremost not unity or trust, we need faith. And faith simply means that we surrender. You with me? Because faith means I take something that is, excuse me, I take something that I'm struggling with, or something that I have taken control of, or I'm fighting my fear or my worries, and then what I do is I surrender all of that to a higher being, somebody in higher authority. And what happens then is when I and you get it right to, I want to say, kickstart or catalyze faith in our lives. Like truly, we can truly come and say, Lord, the challenges that I'm facing today, that I'm facing in this week, I, in faith, surrender to you and I totally surrender to you. What happens then is hope gets released. You've all experienced that. If you can unburden yourself of something, even as a child, if you carry something physically and dad comes or mom comes and they take that from you, they unburden you from that, you experience a relief and a release. And there's a hope. There's a hope that I will finish this. I mean, we haven't done it in quite a while, but we love hiking. And, you know, when you go on a very, very long hike, you guys, you know, sort of can relate with it. You go on a very, very long hike and, you know, the bag becomes very, very heavy. If somebody else comes and says, listen, can I just help you carry that? Because I see it's very uphilly here. It's unburdening that takes place. Now, emotionally and spiritually, and many times physically, because he's our healer as well, when we get it right to unburden in that, when we place our faith in God, hope arises.
And when you combine that, when you surrender, that hope gets released, then there's joy. There's a manifestation of joy that you experience. Now listen to Romans 5. Therefore, so this principle is so powerful in here. Therefore, since we have been justified by what? By faith. Okay, so justify means that is the first step in salvation. Court case, you are guilty from birth. Not by deeds, not by you did wrong, by birth, because of the first Adam and the first Eve. Because genetically, in your DNA, you are a sinner. You are guilty. So Christ paid the price. You place your faith in Christ, and in the courtroom of eternity, God the Father says, because you have placed your faith in Christ, I declare you not guilty. I declare you not guilty. Okay? If people on earth understand that, the world will be a much, much better place. Because that is where your salvation happens, and that is where your sanctification, your becoming holy, starts. It gets activated there, and then it's a process, obviously. We many times try to earn our justification through our sanctification. And you guys must really get this theological Christian doctrinal words. Don't let it go over your heads. If you do not understand the doctrine of justification, sanctification, and glorification, you do not understand Christianity. You do not understand your own salvation, and therefore you will be ineffective in communicating it to someone else. And many times we think we got it. Many times we think, I just want to be saved. I just want to be justified. But the purpose of making disciples is to help other people understand they can only be justified through Jesus Christ. Every other religion attempts to be justified through good deeds. Christ said, it is finished. I did the only good deed necessary. I paid on the cross. So that, therefore, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Justification. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that, how precious the gift of peace is. Just ask God to take away your peace. It's hell on earth if there isn't peace. It is turmoil in your soul. It is despair in your mind when you do not have peace. It is a precious, precious spiritual commodity. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice. There's joy. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So God says that when you activate your faith and when you surrender and unburden, you have access to the glory of God. And the glory of God contains peace, hope, joy. It contains love. It is the expression of love. You with me? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Another translation says, hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, or while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the Bible makes it clear, we cannot deserve joy through our deeds. We cannot earn hope through our deeds. It is by the grace of God. So for instance, just a practical thing. If you struggle to be thankful, doesn't matter what the season in your life is. Doesn't matter if it's materially tough or medically tough or financially tough or emotionally tough. If you struggle with thankfulness, all that means is you struggle with faith. Because there's always something to be thankful for. And when I am thankful, I practice faith. I practice that I can come and I can unburden my unthankfulness before God, and I can start by speaking, not just by thinking, speaking, saying, Lord, I thank you this morning when I opened the tap that I have a tap in my house with running water. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, God, that I could put a shirt on my back and pants that I don't have to stand here naked. Thank you, God, that we can be in a school hall today. Thank you for that, God. Obviously, we know that the enemy of thankfulness is comparison and discontentment. This is nooit tevreden. And it's not a comparison issue, it's a faith issue. Because we do not surrender. We do not unburden our unthankfulness. If we struggle, for instance, with bitterness and jealousy, and I want you guys to see this as well. We can talk very blasé and say, you know, I'm struggling with to be thankful. If you remain in that place of being unthankful, it's going to grow to a place where you're going to become bitter. You're going to become jealous because discontentment breeds jealousy. And eventually, it's not just an emotion anymore. You open the door in your life to a demonic stronghold. And then after a while, it's like, I really want to be thankful because this sucks. This sucks to be bitter. This sucks to be offended. This sucks to be so jealous and so discontent in my life. But it has become demonic. Listen to James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Yes, the Apostle Paul, I don't know why we watch Netflix. I don't know why we watch the rubbish on DSTV. This is poetry. This guy knew how to write. And yet we don't want to read this for some reason. Thankfulness is something that opens the door to faith. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. Remember we said, if we want joy in our lives, it starts with the practice of faith. And faith sometimes, it's not just it's by the grace of God, but as we grow up in God, it's as if he's like, listen, I want you to partner more and more with me. It's like a son that grows up in the business with his father. When he was a baby and a little boy, he just partook of the graces of that business. But the dad is raising him up to take over the business, and he's starting to give him responsibility little by little, little by little. And eventually the dad wants to say, listen, this business is now your business. And many times we don't understand why we do not experience the blessings of God anymore, why we do not experience the joy and the peace that is available to us anymore. It's because God is saying to us, grow up. I know it's just a process and it happens automatically by the grace of God, but there's a place where we have to take a responsibility about what we think. We have to take the thoughts captive and we have to take responsibility about the things that we say, that we speak, the conversations that we have. That's one of my weaknesses. In my DNA, from Adam obviously, but through my generations, there's a pessimism and negativity. that I many times have to fight because I can see that it influences my children. And I can see that it influences my wife. It is my responsibility to fight that, not their responsibility. Because as a parent, I must break that curse because it's exactly what it is. If you do not communicate blessing to the people around you, you communicate curse. Simple as that. And if you carry bitterness and jealousy and unthankfulness, I'm going to focus on that three this morning as the negatives. If you carry that in your heart, you communicate curse. It's not just like, oh, I'm having a bad day. No, you've been having a bad day the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years. You are communicating a curse because you have given over to that curse. So now the bitterness is not just influencing you, it's influencing everyone around you. You are a terrible person to be around. You're always negative and complaining and moaning. Ne? I'm not saying you like that. I just know how to be the source of that. And I also know how to be on the receiving end of that. Because many times that's how we are. We do not express joy because we do not have faith. Is the bitterness our strength? No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So remember this morning I'm talking about how to access that. Okay. Take Romans 5 and then you reverse it. And you ask this yourself. Okay, so if there's no hope, if there's no joy, you take it all the way back to, okay, have I been justified by faith? You see what I'm saying? There's a chain reaction when we activate faith. But there's also a chain reaction when we activate faithlessness or unthankfulness or bitterness. And we have to watch that. Because it's crafty and it's schemy. It's not like it knocks on your door, rev its V8 engine, toot in front of your house and saying, I'm coming for you. No, it's very, very sneaky. It's ninja-like. Your bear is in the, I don't want to say he's in the ninja phase, he's in the swart kat phase, is maybe, yeah. he's in stalking phase. It's his mission now to jump out of stuff and scare you. So, what does the Afrikaans say? Jy moet kat voet loop for him. Because this morning, once again, I asked Salida, I said, is somebody on the roof? She said, yes. He's been stalking around the whole morning. And then he obviously acts as if you don't see him. But I can see him because my spider senses is alive as well. But sin is like that. It crouches at the door. Né? That's what the Bible says. It crouches at the door like the swart kat. Not that I want to say the swart kat is sinful, but you see what I'm getting at. So watch out. The devil is walking around. They say like a roaring lion, but I think he's purring many times. And then, rah! Okay, so these thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and these spirits, it cancels joy. So why am I not happy? Well, ask yourself, what are you thinking? What are you saying? How do you influence the atmosphere around you? What are you listening to? What do you tolerate? Okay. So maybe just to, you're getting this. Are you getting this? You really must get this. Boss, Fanny, gaan gaan vir my na daai, daar staan joy, faith. Joy is gelijk aan faith, mal hope, mal unity. Okay, so that's it. It's just an equation, a sommiekie waarmee jy dit kan onthou. Okay? If we want joy, we need faith, we need hope, and then we threw in the unity. And it's got the multiplying effect. That when I talk about a chain reaction, it's like this nuclear reaction. It's joy multiplies. Joy increases. So let me just read this. Faith, when you surrender something, it involves giving up control and trusting God completely, which we've described as surrendering. It is the foundation of the Christian life. Hope, as you surrender, hope emerges. It is a confident expectation that God is faithful and working for your good. And if you know the character and the heart of God for you personally, that becomes your reality. And then joy is the product of faith and hope. It is a deep assurance and delight in God, no matter the circumstances. And for that reason, Paul says, rejoice, even when there's tribulation, even when there's challenging times. Because your rejoicing doesn't start in a... It's not from within you. It starts with your faith. It starts in calling in the big guns. It starts in calling in God and saying, God, I'm unburdening with you now, and therefore I can rejoice. You are ultimately in charge of my circumstances. Remember, the devil hates you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So your faith can be okay, but you can still be in despair. Okay? And if you do not experience unity, if there's not unity, coming back to unity, between me and God, it means there's a trust problem. So I cannot express faith towards God when there's a trust problem between me and God. I must trust Him. So maybe you've done that as well. You want to reason, or you want to deliberate, or you actually want to fight with God. You want to say, God, why have you placed me here in this position, in this predicament, in this challenge? As if God, the problem is with you. And the problem is never with God. The problem is always on our side. And part of a mature Christian is saying, listen, I take responsibility of my circumstances. I take responsibility of the deep doo-doo that I find myself in now. Whether it is because of my own doing or whether it is because of the doing of someone else. God, I'm not going to remain a victim anymore. I'm going to take responsibility. And the first step to victory is to take responsibility. I will take responsibility for this. I will start to speak and think differently about this. And I am going to exercise faith in these circumstances. Because I ultimately want to come to that place where, in the face of adversity, in the face of people mocking me, in the face of other religions mocking me, in the face of a spirit of this world, whatever its source is, I want to rejoice. I want to be like Teflon. I don't want it to influence me. I don't want the opinions of other people, the demonic opinions of other people, the ideological opinions of other people to influence me. I want to rejoice. But therefore, I have to have faith. So there must be trust between me and God. And the only way that you can trust God is if you, beyond any reasonable doubt, believe that He is a good God, that He is a Father that loves you. And then the other thing, I said we're part of a team. God made that. I've emphasized that. We do not experience joy when there is disunity in the team, whatever your team is. Because there isn't good faith flowing between us. And we must restore that, husband and wife, families, children. That's why God has given the Christian the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry to unite under Christ. Because He paid the price ultimately. So there must be unity between us and God, and there must be unity in our earthly teams. If it isn't there, we isolate. Ne? Husbands, if you and your wife isn't lekker, what do you want to do? I want to isolate. Wives, I don't know if you are the same. I want to isolate when Alida and myself isn't lekker. I just want my space. She's like that as well. And we like that. When our team is losing, what do you want to do? You're like, I just want to get off. I just want to get out. I don't want to be on this field anymore. And many times, I said it last week as well, what we do in this country is we connect our joy to the scoreboard. And that is natural.
I mean, al die blou bille. 83ste minuut. Waar was ons 84ste minuut? Nee, skop oor. Wen vir Leinster. Is dit gisterand gebeur? Ek het nie die game gekyk nie, man. Was gister, nee. Ja. En die scoreboard sê, okay, die bille het gewen, so Suid-Afrika het gewen, so ons is soos, yay! Now I have joy. But God looks at it and he's, listen. I mean, and I had to make a piece of that. I was in a very, very small school and the scoreboard many times was 50-0, 50, I don't know, 53 maybe because the ref guy was a strafskop daar in die beseringstyd to make us feel better. And I remember ek was mos die hoofseun ook vir die van julle wat nie weet nie. I remember in my final speech, I told the school, I said, yes, and as a school and a group, 1994, we lost a lot. But if you never learn to lose, you will never learn to win. Now, obviously, there's some lying and truth in that. You, as believers, we have to have a winning culture. Because you always win because Jesus won. But God is interested in your character. So even if the scoreboard says 53 or 50-0, you have to ask yourself, how did you conduct yourself on that sport fields? And maybe you smiled. Because that is what required of you. Because the coach said, when we win humbly. And when we lose graciously. Which is a very good one-liner, two-liners. You win humbly, and when you defeat, you take it graciously. But in your heart, how much have you connected to this game? How much have you invested in this game? And will you like be droopy and sorrowful for the rest of this week because you lost this game? And then Saturday or Friday is coming because the next game is coming and you haven't recovered from that one because you've made this idol in your heart. And this goes for life. This doesn't just go for sport fields. Obviously, I'm preaching it to my children. But this goes for life. If you didn't get that one business deal, and you're going to be drooping about that for the next 2 or 3 months, you will not get the next one. You've got to get out of that to a place where you're like, God, I surrender that to you. Let's pray about this. Let's fast and pray if we have to get this disappointment and despair out of us so that there can be a reset, so that there can be a rejoicing, so that we can pursue the Lord again. If you're a person that go like, ach, pastor, I'm always joyful. And I'm always going to be joyful. No, you're not. You're human. You will be tested beyond the joy, the earthly joy that you experience now. God wants to release in us a supernatural heavenly joy. Hoe dit ding is, het Paulus dit reg gekry to sit in shackles in that dirty, flea and pea infested jail, beaten, bleeding, and he was still rejoicing. That is not a joy that is emotionally shallow. That is not a high five, give me a group hug joy. Kumbaya, we are so lucky with one another. That is a joy that is only accessible through the grace of God. Nee? All right. Already spoke about the multiplication effect. I want to close with this. It's a long close, like you know, when I say I want to close. Doesn't mean it's going to be in the next 5 minutes. But this is a question I'm going to ask you. How can you, myself, and our teams build unity, faith, hope, trust, and joy? And I have 5 things, just practical things here. Quickly going to go through this. The first one is you have to be transparent. You have to be clear and honest in your communication. Because that's essential for... Jy moet praat! I'm so frustrated with my extended family. We don't talk. Since my mom passed away, she was the talker. We don't talk. And then things build up. Explosion. And then all the talking is about picking up the crap. Sorry for the word. But that's how it is in our families.
We do not communicate properly. We do not communicate respectfully. We do not communicate lovingly. We do not communicate from a place of joy and being filled of hope. We communicate in desperation. And then the pawpaw hits the fan. And then we're so busy picking up the pieces that we never communicate what is at the core of our issue. Ephesians 4 verse 25 says, therefore, there's 5 points if you want to keep time and track. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, which includes his wife, his children, his people at work, the people that you need to confront, for we are members of one another. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Okay. Now listen to this. Sharing information openly helps others understand decision-making processes and motivations. So if you walk around with a burden, don't keep it there. Go and communicate it somewhere. Respectfully, lovingly. And if the other person explodes, it's on them. Prayerfully sometimes, most of the times prayerfully. Read your email or WhatsApp 5 times before you send it, because we type it many times emotionally. People often assume they know what others are thinking or why they act in certain ways, but these assumptions are frequently incorrect. A lack of communication weakens transparency. Now listen to this. While stress can further erode it by triggering cortisol, doctor, the cortisol release and inhibiting oxytocin, the hormone linked to trust and bonding. So the stuff is, it functions on a biological level as well. It influences our, is it a gland, Marshall? It influences our glands. That's why we many times struggle with feeling, because of the stuff that is released or not released in our lives. Okay. The second thing is you have to be vulnerable. Authenticity bridges the gap between leaders and teams. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, says Paul in Galatians 6 verse 2. No one is perfect, and while oversharing isn't necessary, being open about mistakes and challenges shows humanity and fosters connection. Spending time together in informal settings, such as a trip or a shared activity. A trip doesn't mean using recreational drugs and going on a trip. It means you go out in nature and you just go on a trip. But this helps to break pretenses. It builds trust and it encourages the release of endorphins. That's what you experience when you go for a run or a jog. I was so grateful for my children this week. I think it's the first time in our relationship. First, Fia took me for a run. I had to beg her because she was under the assumption that I would destroy her. And I did. I destroyed her the first 2.5 kilometers. And then we turned around in Aquas and my cousin. I haven't been this unfit, I don't know, since when. And she probably won me by 600 meters. It was 5 kilometers. So I overcooked it the first 2.5. So I will attack with wisdom the next time. And then yesterday, Hubert took me for a bike ride. And it was so lekker, you know. And I told Fia when we come back, you know, sometimes our sanctification process, our process of becoming holy, we make it so spiritual, you know. And many times, the Bible is about principles. And prayer and fasting and all of those things is part of those principles. But sometimes our sanctification is activated by eating right, going for a run or a cycle. Or a swim, or a trip, just the right trip. There's something that gets released in that, where you like, I experience the joy of the Lord. I see Him in nature. I see Him in creation. I'm thankful again. I mean, let's be wise in the way we do that. It encourages the release of endorphins. That is neurotransmitters that increase satisfaction and happiness.
When team members genuinely care for one another, trust and performance tend to improve. If you want to see a good team, see how they handle a very bad defeat. Because a very bad defeat squeezes. It just squeezes that bad and good character out of you. It's just like that. And the good thing about bad character being squeezed out of us is we can deal with it. Because there I can see it. My attitude sucks. I have a temper. I have a depression connected to the scoreboard. I can deal with that. Next point, integrity and consistency. Reliability reinforces trust. Matthew 5:37 says, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. If you commit to something, follow through. And like usually, the people that's supposed to hear this is not in church. If you commit for a team in this church, and you said, "I will be here at 7:30 to help with the setup," and you rock up at 8 or 8:30, you are not to be trusted, and you just messed up the unity. And you just stole my hope. And you just stole a piece of my faith in you, and therefore my joy is in say cussing. Practical. And you know how it feels in business. I don't know why with church we do not handle the same standards. We're supposed to handle higher standards in church. This is the place where the standards must be lifted so that you can be effective out there. The word disciple is directly connected to discipline. That's why Paul talks about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Those are the most disciplined careers if you want to be successful. Discipline. Disciple. Just as an animal training, where a dog learns to trust when it consistently receives a promise, treat people, trust those who keep their word. So in photos is dead. Strike three and you're out. If somebody comes back and repents, yes, we reset the whole process. But there's nothing wrong if in your policy at work or wherever, oh, I'm so frustrated at school, Jufro. The most overprotected thing in this country is a kind. And if they have not learned discipline at home, then the school is expected to teach them that discipline. And the school does at the cost of education. That's rubbish. I know I'm fighting with the wrong people. Maar gaan asseblief buiten toe, nee. En gaan sê vir die mense wat nie hulle kinders opvoed by die huis. Dis nie die freaking school se werk nie. Onderwysers se werk is om kinders op te voed in die vak waarna toe hulle kom. Oh! Ek's meer frustreerd as my vrou wanneer dit by die goed kom. Fokus, Riek, kry die mense hier deur. Ons het lang naweek, ons wil gaan eet by die huis. However, failing to do so leads to frustration, anxiety and stress-related behaviors triggering cortisol release, there it is again, and further eroding trust when actions do not align with words. Trust breaks down. Alignment. Shared values and goals create comfort and connection. Hebrews 10 verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, do not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. 1 Peter 3 verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. It is often easier to trust those who align with our priorities and perspectives. Some individuals focus on relationships and meaningful connections, while others prioritize outcomes and project goals. Misalignment in these areas can cause confusion and distrust. Understanding what drives others is key. While personal alignment may not always be possible, professional trust can still be built through mutual understanding and collaboration. And then the last one is mutual exchange. Trust thrives when there is mutual giving and receiving. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And then Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." Everyone desires support and appreciation. When a team member feels undervalued or unheard, distrust can grow. So this is for team leaders. This is for dad and mom. This is for in your classroom. This is for at your work. So when that person has pitched and they're on time, they're dressed, they're ready for action, and we do not appreciate them, we do not share our side of the stories with them, we're not vulnerable and authentic in front of them, it influences the way that they function. What is the word emotional intelligence? We have to fill the room. We have to be respectful to people. We have to value their contribution. We have to be thankful for their contribution. Making time for others, even in busy seasons, is crucial to nurturing trust. Dependability, loyalty, presence, and active listening all contribute to a sense of this is the mutual exchange, reciprocity. And then the last sentence I want to read is, if one party consistently fails to show up for the other, a trust gap will inevitably form. So Mondvol, the message is available on Shofar Sermons. If you go to www.shofarsermons.org and you go to Worcester, you will find it there. Otherwise, you can say, listen, Rick, I want your notes because I'm in a team and there's some stuff in my team that I just think needs attention. And obviously, what I've spoken about today, there's so many things out there available about teams. But for me, what was just so precious as I prepared this is it's so relatable when we understand that God uses all our circumstances to give us an opportunity to partake in the grace that He has made available to us. And we too many times allow that our circumstances steal that joy from us. Okay? I had a conversation this morning. No, I didn't have a conversation. It was one-sided. Friend asked me, me and all my other personalities. He said, listen, we focus so much on sin avoidance. Shouldn't we focus on transformation? And I was like, eat a pint beer? This is about transformation. We try to avoid sin, but Jesus already paid the price for sin. Stop fighting sin. Start pursuing Christ and His character in faith. Because faith, hope, unity, trust produces joy. That's what I vandaag vir julle wil sê. Amen. Can we stand? And then